measure. On a song, and it's from that Robin Hood movie, and a couple of things about it. Mutt Lange was the producer. We had they had a Fender Rhodes that was being set up, and I couldn't figure out how to get the pedal underneath the thing, so I called this one engineer in, and he's down there on his hands and knees, and I said, "Oh, but what is your name, by the way?" He goes, "Oh, Bob." I go, "Yeah, Bob, hey, Bill Payne." "Yeah, Bob Clearmount." I'm going, "Bob Clearmount?" And I was like having John Lennon crawl around on his hands and knees trying to set something up. But there was a C, the piano would not hold its tuning. So there was we moved to Air Studios where the Beatles used to record at midnight. They had an A below middle C. This is middle C, this is an A. That A was sticking every time I played it. And I didn't tell Mutt Lange about it. I didn't want him to focus on it. So I do the da 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 da. That kind of stuff like a rock. Taking that stuff I learned in classical music. There's a lot of power in the piano, right? But you can take it either way. But I let that A below middle C slide. I just said, I'm not telling these guys anything. I got the track cut. It was a huge hit to be overtaken by one of Whitney Houston's songs, The Bodyguard, I think it was. A few years later, which was cool. I'm not keeping score, but it just happened to be a fact. And another fact was 2 years later, as Hollywood often does, I went back to London to play on another record, which I have no idea what this song sounds like. Chris Kimsey was the producer. He produced the Rolling Stones. He was also an engineer for those guys. The artist was, once again, Bryan Adams. It was a movie called The Three Musketeers, and Hollywood had this great idea of putting Sting, who was playing bass and was singing, and Rod Stewart. I played with Rod Stewart before, but it was my first time meeting Sting, and he, at one point, says, "I'll have my man get together with your man." And I go, "Oh, and what are they going to be doing with each other?" But the reason I bring this up is because same piano, a different studio, it's still Air Studio, but now it's in a church. That same A below middle C is still sticking. And once again, I don't tell them again. And I fly back to the States. I'm going, how the hell can you have an instrument for 2 years and have the same thing going on? Does nobody talk to anybody over there? Or is it? I didn't feel it was my business to have to tell them how to repair a piano. So I laid out. I met Lowell George, and I think this is what's coming up. He was my mentor for the first few years in Los Angeles. I'd never lived in Los Angeles. I lived there for 33 years.
Where in Los Angeles?
I started off in Franklin, actually over in Lowell's part, which was up near Las Feliz in that area. And then Dover and Franklin. I wound up in Las Virgenes Canyon for about 16 years, the last 16 years. I live in Montana now. And I live about 22 miles from Yellowstone Park. It's a huge change. In fact, people are going, "Now, Bill, you know it snows up there." I said, yeah, and I cross country ski if that's okay with you. So, now look, I love coming to Los Angeles. I love coming to Orange County. In fact, there's a restaurant called Zulu Cafe that has some of the best swordfish you'd ever have in your life. I was, you know, disappointed because I couldn't go there to eat dinner. But some great people down here, and I get a chance to go all over the world and, you know, do what I love to do and what I think I'm good at. Well, thank you. I appreciate every single one of you that showed up this evening. What's that? Well, that's what you're supposed to do, right? You know, I mean, carry on, mate, is what it is. This next photo is with my cohorts, with Lowell and Richie Hayward. And if you check out jambands.com and relics.com, type in either my name or Richie Hayward, you're going to come up. I wrote a 10,000-word article on Richie, who was from Iowa, who in 1966 came out to Los Angeles himself. And that was quite a deal. I mean, it was, you know, you go from Iowa where you're talking about the size of the pork tenderloin sandwich you had that afternoon that hung over the plate. The folks are in the backyard or maybe in a screened-in porch. It's a lot of fireflies and they're discussing Lawrence Welk. And so Richie Hayward is then 1966 out in Los Angeles. He's got Kim Fowley and his merry pranksters and the Frank Zappa, Valley girls who would shave their underarms and their legs and were more than willing to do anything you wanted with them. And that was before the sexual revolution. So Richie Hayward was like this, like if you let air out of a balloon, it'd be he was in Pinocchio's bus. I mean, he couldn't believe his good fortune. But we had a song back then on the very first Little Feat record called Gunboat Willie. It had this out. There was a song that Lowell wrote called Feathers and a Smile. It was supposed to be part of a Gunboat Willie suite. I don't think anybody ever really heard it. I just kind of figured out the key to it the other day. I'm gonna sing it for you. And you say she was the prettiest girl you've ever seen, with her feathers and her smile. And she might be the girl who would hold stone cold heart so deep. Well, if I knew the way out of this place, I would take you by the arm and lead you out of here, where your lover is waiting, although her bed may not be empty. This I must admit, I do not know, or even the way out of this place, or even the way back home. By the by, I think you are the strangest person I know. I knew the way out of this place, Yes, I must admit, I do not know. Thank you.